Good morning. You know, the first time I heard Good Morning Church, I heard it in Toronto about 4 or 5 years ago. The first time I heard it, I said, what? You know, good morning to a church building? Of course not. Of course, we're talking about you, the church. And it was just perfectly correct to say good morning church, because in the past I'm an older pastor, so we usually call good morning brothers and sisters, but now, you know, we make it shorter, just say good morning church. Do you like that? Okay, one more announcement, one more we end that we would like you to participate is in the bulletin, ECAC Mission Conference, the end of September, the last weekend of September. If you look at it, there's all the topics that the speaker will focus on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And this year, we will do something differently, and we actually ask the speaker to make an altar call. So if you have been thinking, praying about missions, maybe this is time God is going to speak to you. So we just invite you to come. And on Saturday night, I will try to explain to you how ECAC mission budget works, and also some questions regarding CNMA, our denomination, Christian and Mission Alliance in Canada, how we do missions together with all the local churches. So Saturday, I will try to talk about that so that we will get to know better about how we do mission as a denomination. So hopefully you will come this last weekend of September. So please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. And can you show the first PowerPoint? And the first time I heard this, I think it was a few years ago when my daughter was still a teenager. And I think she mentioned about something like that. And then she tried to explain to me what it was. But, you know, to me, I'm long gone about that, so I didn't really remember. And do you know what that means? Girls? Guys? For guys, it's a nightmare. You know, because I was told it means different. Define the relationship, DTL. You know, define the relationship. You know, eventually boys and girls come together for some time, and then usually the girls will ask, "I need to find out." You know, so the guys, "No, I need to run." You know. So one wants to find out, one wants to run. So I'm not sure about how things works at the end. So this is the meaning of DTR, you know, define the relationship. So boys and girls love to find out. And so today, I would like to use this to define the relationship between you and Jesus. So regardless how long you have been a Christian, maybe 10 months, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, if Jesus just like you know, one of the lover comes to you and say, "I would like to define the relationship between you and me," you know, and please don't run away, okay? So, the next 30 minutes, I want you to keep that in mind. Jesus is asking, and he would like you to define the relationship between you and him. So, let's do that. A lover, a savior, and Lord of your life comes to you and asks you, please define the relationship between you and me. So this is the background, the backdrop of this conversation that we have today, Luke chapter 9. And many of us becoming a Christians, we look at a relationship just like, you know, young people, maybe adults too. You know, when we enter into a relationship, we are thinking about how much I can get, how much I can gain from this relationship. And a lot of time, all this selfish motivation will cause, broken relationships at the end. So let's look at this, and is this the right attitude going into a relationship with Jesus? He's thinking about what I can get from it, what I can gain from all this wonderful relationship that I have with Jesus. A lot of people see Jesus as a savior. I said it many times in the past, because we are in need, so that we ask Jesus to come in to help me. So we stuck with this concept of I need help, and someone can help, so I just go there and get help. And you started this relationship with Jesus. But is it truly the meaning of or define the relationship with Jesus. Just end with this need. You know, I need something, someone can provide, so I'm just stuck with this relationship. And I hope it will be more than that. And how many of you have a little cross, you know, that you bear, you know, in your necklace? How many of you have those little tiny, you know, cross? And unfortunately, we wear crosses, but we don't bear cross. You know, this is what the problem that we might have today. We want to tell people that I'm a Christian. I want to tell myself that I'm a Christian, but I don't really bear the cross. I just wear the cross, you know. It's a little bit different. So today we just look at chapter 9, verses 23-27. I will be just focusing on verse 23. Because just verse 23, there are three verbs that we really need to look into it. And I think it's just enough for us for today. So let's look at chapter 9. Actually, this story started with verses 18. And Jesus was praying with his disciple, and then he was asking, "Who am I?" And Peter said, "Oh, you are the Messiah." And Jesus, and then say something like, "Oh, I'm going to die, and I will be resurrected after 3 days." You have to see the momentum. So he was with the disciples. So after the prayer, he asked them, you know, "Who am I? What do you think about this?" You know, Jesus was asking, define the relationship. So he was just asking, "Who am I?" And Peter said, "Oh, you are the Messiah." And right away, Jesus said, "I'm going to die." And according to the book of Matthew and the book of Mark, Peter actually pulled him aside. Remember, I said that a few months ago? Peter actually pulled him aside and said, "You are not going to die, you know? This is not going to happen." So he was trying to stop him and thinking about dying because we are doing so well. Right now, so many followers, you know, following you, and all of a sudden you said that you're going to die. So are we going to end this movement like that? So he pulled Jesus aside and say that you're not going to die. And Jesus said, "No, stay away, Satan." Actually, call him Satan. No, I mean the one behind him. And then he comes to this conversation, verses 23. Then he talks about how we should carry the cross, all these things. So you need to see the movement, you know, Jesus asking, "Who am I to you?" "Yeah, you are the Messiah," but Jesus said, "I'm going to die," but I said, "Don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die," you know. But Jesus said, "No, no, 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 no." And not only I'm going to die, I want to tell you about your future too. So this is the movement in this conversation. Okay, let's come to verse 23. As I said, there are three verbs, but before this, verse 23. Okay, this is from Message, so I hope this will help you grasp a little bit more about what Jesus actually was talking about. So he was just talking about, I'm on the driver's seat, I'm the leader, I'm the one, you know, all this. So just read this as I speak. But before he said that, as I said, in verse 23, if you look at your Bible, especially if you look at the NIV, turn on your phone, click the app, Bible app, and you will see the word if, I-F, if. So a lot of Christians feel that Jesus was telling them, if you want to do this, then you should do this and do this. If you want to be my disciple. It sounds like an option that Jesus presented to his disciples. If you want to, then do this. We love that option because living in North America, you know, being Canadian, we love options, right? Look at our grocery store. We have so many options. So we look at this and say, well, Jesus just presented an option to me whether I want to be his disciple. And so this is optional. I'm not sure about that because if you look at Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 34. So Jesus had a conversation with his disciples, and then he was asking them about who he was, all this, and Peter pulled him aside, all that. And then after that, Jesus, according to Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus actually gathered others around him. Those are the ones that we consider themselves like a fan. You know, they just want to follow Jesus. He was a hero. He did so many miracles. He just fed 5,000 people. So if you are hungry, so this is the guy you need to follow. If you want to learn more about God, this is the guy you need to follow. So he had so many followers. So Jesus actually gathered all of them after rebuking, you know, turn Peter away and say, you know, what you said was not correct. And then he gathered everyone, just like now, we gather everyone. So beside the 12, is it 12? And the first one? Or missing one? Well, someone sit beside, oh no, just kidding. So beside the 12, there's so many around sitting and hoping to get something from Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, Eve. So this is not an option for the 12, for those who follow him. This Eve is asking those who just want something good, something benefit from Jesus. So this Eve, to me, is not an option opening to all believers and say, this is an option. You can be a Christian, but you don't have to be disciples. This is not correct. Because I believe, according to the scripture, the more we read, we know that this is not an option Jesus opened to his followers. And saying that this is an option. I think he was just challenging those who are coming after him for good things from him, for so-called blessings, good stuff. Fill my stomach, you know, meet my needs, that kind of a crowd, that people come together. And so he asked them, if you want to be followers of Jesus. And this is what you need to do, verse 23. So I think this if applies to seekers, people who are still interested in knowing God, you know, all those, but not for you, if you already accepted Jesus, just like the 12. So Jesus said, if... Verse 23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny. The first verb. So I have 3 points to share with you today according to these three verbs. The first one is put down. If you look at this, I want you to see verse 23. Deny yourself, pick up the cross daily, and follow Jesus. If you read this carefully, you will see, I would suggest, it's like a coin, have two sides. The first one is being. Deny yourself. Let Jesus be the driver. I said that a few times in the past. If you love to drive, you're the driver all the time, and all of a sudden you become a Christian, and Jesus said, give me your car key. If you are computer people, you know, Jesus said, give me your keyboard. I'm the best computer programmers. I want to rewrite your programs in your computer because your program is not doing really well. So this is what Jesus is asking. Being, you need to drop yourself. You need to shift focus from yourself. I know it's very difficult. We brought up in North American cultures, you know, everything is about me. So this is a challenging first step. It's about being. So we talk about deny yourself, and then later on pick up the cross. So it's more like, what? Doing. Because what Jesus did on the cross, he was just do all the empty talks. He said how much you love you, but he didn't do anything. We are still stuck. So this statement is about being and doing at the same time. It's just one coin, both sides. So I'm not talking about, you might be thinking, oh, being is more important, so I don't have to do anything. I just get to know God better, you know. And doing is just, I do everything, don't expect me to change because I don't have time to change. I just do everything for God in the church, you know, all these things. So I'm just keeping myself busy. It's a two-sized one coin in order to what? Being and doing to follow Jesus. So don't try to tell yourself One side is more important, because in verse 23 alone, this verse gives us the answer how to follow Jesus. It's being and doing, and both are the two sides of the same coin. Who you really are, you are the one God is asking, define the relationship. Follow me. So verse 23. So the first one is, you know, put down yourself, shifting focus from self-centeredness and to someone else. And of course, we know later who that someone else is. So this is the main thing. Shifting, meaning that you give the car key to Jesus, not just 1 hour, not just one trip, but every single trip from now on. You can sit in the car still belongs to you, but you are no driver anymore. And the keyboard. Well, I know many of you don't use keyboard these days, but can you imagine? Well, you still have a keyboard, right? Those are on your phone. So those are the ones that Jesus would say, give it to me because I'm the best driver in the world. I'm the best computer programmer. So he's driving. Of course, the weather he cannot control. He doesn't want to control the weather, so he's still in the car. Life may be still difficult. Sometimes it rains, sometimes it's too hot, but he's driving. It doesn't mean that the weather is always in the ideal situations. But you are safe because he is the one driving it. So this is the first point that I would love to see, because Jesus is saying that this is the first step you need to do, is to drop yourself first, not drop yourself to death. I mean, just drop yourself, shifting the focus from self, brothers and sisters, church. I promise to say, church, wake up and understand this. Shifting, I know it's difficult, because every day, most of the time, you're thinking about what I can get, what is comfortable for me, what's my plan, what is my trip to, you know, vacation. You're thinking about all yourself and your loved ones. But now God said, well, change that. The first one is, you know, change who you are. And I think it will link together with the gospel later. And this is what Jesus is asking us to do. Put down, shifting, very easy to understand, but it's hard to do, I get that. So the first questions Jesus is asking about your DTL, define the relationship, is who is the center of this relationship? Who is the center of this relationship? When he asks you to define this relationship with him, I think the first question he's going to ask you under this DTL and is who is the center of this relationship? So second point is, I call it take up. Pick up the cross, not just wear the cross around your neck, but pick up the cross and bear the cross. So where is the cross? If you look at 21, verse 21-22, Jesus was talking about how he was going to die, but he never said how he was going to die. If you look at Matthew and Mark, in the same incident, as far as I can remember, Jesus never really mentioned how he was going to die. He just talked about he was going to die and he was resurrected the third day. Here too, Jesus did not mention how he was going to die, but he actually mentioned the cross to his disciples. Bear the cross. And to them, where is the cross? If you are Roman Empire, if you are living under Roman Empire, if you are living under Trudeau these days, I'm not talking about politics. So what is the cross to you if you live under Roman Empire? Shame, because you will be naked when you hang on the cross. You are a criminal. And what? A lot of pain. You're going to die in a slow death. So that was the understanding. When they heard that, okay, bear the cross, at the end, I'm going to die painfully, shamefully. But Jesus said, bear your cross daily, brothers and sisters. Not just today, Sunday, not just Friday, not just Saturday, but also every day. I know the word 24/7 used to be a, you know, popular. Everybody said that. But now we stop saying that. Do you know why? Because I think it's too stressful. Right? 24/7. Who wants that? But this is what Jesus asked us, to bear the cross 24/7. It's not just weekend in the church, but every day in your workplace, your school, your home, bear this cross. What does it mean to us now, today? Not that. I think the cross means obedience. I think the cross means what Jesus said, empty himself, he obeyed, and he died on the cross to show us love, grace, give us opportunity to come back to God. So the cross to us is not shameful, it's not painful, that like what they believe in or what they heard about. To us, this is God's mission. So first thing you need to do is shift yourself, because this is what Jesus did. He shifted from focusing on himself to empty himself, and he died on the cross to complete or fulfill the mission of the Father. So when Jesus said, bear the cross, it's not like, Pastor, I have a bad back, so this is my cross. No, this is not your cross, this is your bad back. I have a tooth, you know, always give me pain. This is my cross. No, you could go to see a dentist, you know, we have dentists here. So those are not your cross. The cross is about someone. You want to help someone to meet God. This is what Jesus, he laid out this possibility of the gospel in the gospel so that people can accept Jesus. So the cross is not something that inconvenient you, but something that is about mission. And this call for obedience and call for love, sacrifice. And the most important thing is you have to put down yourself first in order to do it. And this is the doing part. Being, you know, shift, and then doing is bear your cross every day so that people can meet Jesus and people can know God. That is what Jesus is talking about. Suffering maybe at the end if you keep doing that. But this is the this is what he asks us to do. And Paul understands that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You see, the big shift, and then he now knows there's meaning in life. So second question I want to ask you, or Jesus wants to ask you in this detail, and who are you living for? Are you living for yourself, or you are living for this mission that people can come to know Jesus? The third one, follow. Very easy. Just follow Jesus. And this is like, I heard a story, maybe you guys, one of you or two of you or three of you can confirm with me is real or not. I just find out when I prepare this message. Jewish people in Jesus' time, kids go to school too, so they went to school. About 6 years old, they went to school to learn not only those education, but they also learn religious stuff like the Torah. They have to memorize the Torah. So by age of 13 or 14, you are supposed to recite the whole Old Testament. And so being a Christian is easy for you guys, you know. We don't even ask you to, well, Bible Christian maybe. So by 13 and 14, they should be able to recite the whole Old Testament. And then some of them will say, oh, I have a calling to get involved in religious stuff. So they will look for what? They will be looking for a rabbi. So they're going to knock on people's door. Rabbi Stan, and would you like to be my mentor? And Rabbi Stan said, no. Go home. So a lot of people knock on the door or call. And so Rabbi Stan said, no, 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 no. And then, this first row, yeah, come and follow me. So they got so excited. So they followed this rabbi, and his name is Stan Mann. So he's standing here all the time. So they said, oh, well, I'm going to follow Rabbi Stan. And let's go home and tell my mom and tell my dad. And wow, wonderful, you're going to seminary. No, I'm just, and then they will have a celebration. They have something like that. The parents will tell him, tell the son. And this is what they said. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. What does it mean, Mom? May I be covered in the dust of my rabbi? What does it mean? That means you have to follow very, very close to your rabbis, that when he kicked the dust up, you catch them. You catch them all. So you just follow him right behind him. And this is the mindset of being a follower of a rabbi. You get so close to Jesus, you can actually smell his breath and his body odor. That close, not 10,000 miles away. Hi, Jesus, how are you? I'm just trying to follow you, but don't pay attention to me, okay? And when I need you, I will get closer and then ask you something. But just be my leader over there. I'm following you right here. Okay? So, this is how we follow Jesus. We only get up there when we are in trouble. We only get up there and say, Jesus, I need help. But this is not what they understood. When you become a follower of a rabbi, it should be very, very close. And this is what Jesus asks us to be. Follow, follow, follow closely. And this is what he asks us. So the first question is, who is leading you? You know, this relationship. So I'm almost done this passage, three verbs. But I just want to discuss with you the next 5 or 10 minutes. Why we are not in a mood or thinking about following Jesus. There's a statement I just read this past week. Actually, it's a very simple statement, but actually somehow, again, it stuck in my mind and it just popped up, and it says something like that. There's a cost of believing in Jesus. Do you agree? When you read that, there's a cost. Well, for those who are already taking a nap, it's time to wake up, please. So the next 10 minutes is very important. I think we need to do this together. So there's a cost of believing in Jesus. Do you truly believe that? Is it a correct statement, first of all? Is it a correct statement? Is it a cost to believing in Jesus? Is there a cost? For those who have been Christians for a long time, you know the answers, and you know really well, because you heard enough sermons, you read Bible enough, you go to Sunday school enough, you go to a small group enough, you know, all these things, then you will say the answer is yes and no. Yes to God, because the cost was his only son, Jesus Christ. And does it cost us anything? For those who believe, no to us, there's no cost to us. Would you like to raise your hand? Also, you agree that there's a cost to us? Oh, wow. Okay, so where's the cost? Oh, so you're still half asleep. So, yes to God, because the answer is yes and no. Yes, yeah, because you're going to cost Jesus to die on the cross. So it cost our Lord Jesus Christ. No to us, because we received the salvation. It's a grace, and all we need to do is believe in Jesus, and we will be okay. So there's no cost because someone already paid the cost. And we believe that, right? And this is how we share the gospel sometimes. We say, Jesus already paid it off. You know, all you need to do is to believe in Jesus. And your sin will be forgiven. Right? Maybe this is how you became a Christian. I want to show you how it works. I really need to show you, okay? Pretend. After this, I'm not saying that you are in hell. I'm just saying this is pretend. You know, you cross this is hell. Okay, not you guys, but this is hell. So I'm here, I'm, you know, living my own life, you know, enjoying my life, all this. I feel it sometimes feel hot, you know, because the fire from hell, all these things. So I'm getting very close. And then all of a sudden, somebody pulled my back and said, oh, who are you? Someone said, oh, do you want to believe in Jesus? You know, he can turn you around and you will be blessed. You know, you don't have to go to hell. Oh, really? Oh, wonderful. You know, just what am I supposed to do? Believe. Okay, I believe in Jesus. Okay, so I believe in Jesus now. It's still very hard. So what am I supposed to do now? Then you need to change. Okay, how much? 90 degrees? So, okay, 90 degrees. But it's still very hot. I'm still walking at the edge of the hell, you know, just 90 degrees. It's not helpful. Well, how about 100 degrees? Okay, 100 degrees. Okay, I walk this way. But where I'm going? Heaven is right there. Right hand is, oh, I forgot to tell you. Heaven is at the back. So the hell is here. Hell. Heaven is right there. Scriptures, you see? So 90 degrees. I'm still walking very close to the edge of the hell, so I'm just, either I fall out and I will be tempted to do bad things. 100 degrees. Oh, yeah, I'm getting away, but I'm not going to heaven anyway. So it doesn't work that way. So when we share the gospel, we say, repent. So what does it mean, repent? 90 degrees, 100 degrees. So what does it mean, repent? Repent is, turn around, man. Okay. It's still hot. Now my back is hot. My eyebrow, you know, I can save them now, but I mean, it's still hot. Have you been, you know, barbecue, you know? My back is still hot. So what kind of gospel is that? And then, you know, you need to change. You need to walk. Repent, meaning you need to turn around and walk toward the heaven, so you can be away from this hard stuff. You see, we do not share gospel like that. We tell people to believe in Jesus, and then you just stay here. Okay, that's all you need to do, believe in Jesus. You'll be blessed. No. Don't forget to mention about repentance. Away from sin. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, I get that. But if you are not moving, you are still very hot, your back. So you have to keep moving. Walk this journey toward God. Then you'll be away from it. You see, a lot of time we do not, I should say, we intentionally don't talk much about repentance. We do not ask people to turn around and walk the way that Jesus asked us to walk. We just say, believe in Jesus. You will be blessed, but I'm still here. Turn around. Don't let that person decide how much he should turn or she should turn. According to the scripture, it's 180 degrees, not 360, and come back here. Oh, hi, guys. Not 90, but 180 degrees. Turn around and starting to walk. Otherwise, you still feel very hot at the back. And this is what Jesus asked us to do in verse 23, 24, 25. Then you get the picture. Get it? When you share the gospel, don't just share all those believing stuff. Those are good stuff, but you have to speak about repentance. A sense of turn around, living a new life again with our Lord Jesus Christ. So you cannot just stop there and thinking that you're already okay. It is not. And it's not a complete the gospel. You have not completed the gospel. So I just want you to understand that if you have not heard that before, now I'm telling you, even though it's harder, because just like husband and wife, before they get married, you know, they are in love, they talk about the future, all these things, and they sign a covenant, you know, they sign the registry, you know, they get married, and all of a sudden the husband say, I want baby. We didn't talk about that. It will be difficult. So I just want to let you know ahead of time, so that when you are going to share the gospel, or now that you understand what the gospel means, I hope you get it. It means walking the way that Jesus want us to walk. This is the come and see, remember? Come and be with me, the journey of disciple making. And we need to do that, otherwise we are just still staying here. That's why your life, your Christian life is so difficult sometimes, because you're still feeling the heat from, not you, from hell. You need to get away, and you need to turn around. Get that? I understand that I said it before. Our relationship with God, with Jesus, is based on needs. I think it's more than that. It's not just needs. We heard it before, you know, Jesus, God doesn't need us. And so I don't have to be a disciple. I don't have to do so many things because God doesn't need me. So why do you ask me to do so many things, you know, all these things? Yeah, God doesn't need you to be God, but God has a mission that he wants you to join. See the difference? God doesn't need you and me to be God himself, but he has a mission that he invites you. That is an eternal mystery. You know why God actually asked you and me to complete this mission that he started. With the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, we all know that, you know, God has chosen you and me to complete this mission. He doesn't need you to be God, but he has chosen you and me to complete this mission that Jesus started 2,000 years ago.